Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show right here on KJO. In studio, we have Herman Bearchicker and John West, our county commissioners. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Right on. How have things been?
Herman, how are you doing?
Doing really good.
Good. Yeah. Good on you. Well, welcome to the studio. I understand. I mean, of course, like Herman, we were talking a little bit earlier. It's never a dull moment for you guys.
No, it's not.
Yes, indeed. But
I'm fighting with the mic.
You know, that is one of the more fun mics here. It doesn't like to stay where you put it.
Yeah, exactly.
gives a little grief, but once you kind of figure it out, then it's a little easier. But, yeah, good to have you both on board here. So where shall we begin?
Well, we know it's summer because there's smoke.
You're telling me my lands, the AQI, probably going to get back to moderate later on today. It hasn't been the best for breathing right now.
No, but, you know, when you're surrounded by forest, you're going to have fire. That's just all there is to it. Those two go hand in hand, and anybody out there thinks that someday we won't have any forest fires, well, that day will occur when we don't have any forests.
So. Well, they're working at that.
Well, we certainly do get a lot of fires. I know with the lightning strikes that we got a little bit later on, earlier this weekend, that certainly didn't help much, did it?
No. But, you know, this has been going on for centuries and centuries and centuries. The fuel loadings are just continuing to get higher in our forests. And as the tons per acre increase, the intensity of the fires increase. It's not as complicated as some people like to portray.
I think there's a balance that we'll need to find.
Well, Mother Nature will find a balance. We're just kind of along for the ride. We mitigate some of the things, but at the end of the day, Mother Nature is pretty much in charge.
Well, let's talk the fire map that we just got recently.
Yeah, you know, that's coming out, and you got to remember, 8 years in the Senate, and I was on all those fire committees and the governor's fire task force and all that stuff. And, you know, I don't like this idea at all. I think what's going to happen is they're going to put this fire map through the process so they can say they went through the process. They're going to establish it or a map that is close to the one they put out. And then the next shoe to drop is going to be they're going to create rules and regulations of people that live within the severe areas that is designated on the map. So, you know, where you can build, what kind of house you have to build, all kinds of requirements. And then the next thing is they're going to put an assessment out. And the reason they're going to put an assessment out is currently – one of the big funding for large fires in the state of Oregon on private or ODF protected lands is the general fund. So they would love to get the fire costs out of the general fund and have its own fund. And the only way to do that is access, you know, everybody that lives in this fire map is going to pay their fair share. And then that way they can take the general fund monies out and they can go spend it on other things that they want to. So I don't think it's good. I don't think this is – I think this will be happen over a series of years. It won't come all of a sudden. But in the end, it meets two goals of the majority party in Oregon. The first goal it meets, objective, is the environmental concerns, and that is to not have people live in rural Oregon. Okay, so 1,000 Friends of Oregon and all – all of our land use planning concerning rural Oregon is all kind of designed to make it difficult and expensive to live in rural Oregon. And so this will just kind of follow right along with that suit. And the second objective that it's going to make is, like I just mentioned, is to take get large fire costs out of the general fund and replace it with a new funding source, which will be assessments on anybody that lives in these lands.
Okay. John, your thoughts?
I agree 100% with Commissioner Bearchicker. This is a money grab. They've asked if we wanted to have one more bite at the apple to give comments on the map. I sent an email and said, yes, we do. Josephine County, the commissioners want to continue to express and the citizens are not happy. They understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. And they understand that They're going to lose property rights. They're going to lose liberties. That's going to cost them money. And so I think at the end of the day, there will be a monster lawsuit. This thing will be massive in the courts. And I think that we'll see how that turns out. But, you know, I think every county in Oregon should sue the state of Oregon over this map. I think that we should all join together and band together. And, you know, they've already hurt us through the insurance process. People's lost insurance, their insurance is doubled. So, you know, the insurance people out of Salem, commissioner says, oh, no, we're not going to let the insurance companies do that. They've already done it. You know, so I guess what comes out of Salem, out of the majority group, you can't believe much of what they say because they got their own agenda. And so the only thing we can do is fight back in every avenue we can. So.
So there's those against. How about those for? Do we have some of those here?
I haven't got any emails for the four people that are. I don't think, you know, the four people are going to be the people that probably don't live in the rural areas.
I see.
But even the map takes in portions of the city. If you look during that meeting. The OSU guy said that anybody that lives within a mile and a half would have ember fallout.
Okay.
That was his words, ember fallout. Well, if you look around the city of Grants Pass, there's forested areas all the way around, and it's within a mile and a half. So the city of Grants Pass then is perceptible to ember fallout. So I guess I don't know too many towns it's going to be good.
Well, yeah, and you know, when you have things that like happen in Hawaii, you know, on Maui, burned up that whole town and stuff, so they point to those things and say this could happen here and this is why, because of firebrands and stuff like that. So, you know, I look at it as a money grab. I spent 8 years in the Senate. I know how that place works. And they never can have enough money. And they have been trying to get the general fund out of large fire costs for a very long time. And this is a great way to do it.
I see.
I mean, I'm against it, but this is a good avenue for them to pursue to get free up that general fund money.
And how does that whole process work there?
Freeing up the general fund money? Well, it just frees up the general fund, and general fund money is discretionary money you can use on any program. So if you don't have to spend it on fire, you can go spend it on something else. You can spend it on, you know, homeless. You can spend it on all kinds, whatever you want, because it's general fund. It's discretionary.
I see.
They love to take areas where we're allocating general fund money, and they like to find another funding source so it frees it up so then they can go use it on something else.
I see. Could that prove beneficial in some cases?
In some cases, yeah, possibly. But it's just, you know, government getting bigger and government taking more of the taxpayer dollars. And as you look, I've talked about this recently in several meetings, when you look at the average income of Josephine County at $29,800, and I got this out of the several sources, and the latest source was in the Chamber of Commerce's handout. And then you look at the average household in Josephine County that sold for is $397,000. Now you tell me, how does somebody who makes $29,800 afford a $397,000 house? We got some problems here in Josephine County, and by the state continuing to want more money out of us, I just don't think is a good thing.
What do you think about that, John?
I agree 100%. What I see is the state is taking forest fires, and a lot of this is the bulk of this, in my opinion, is mismanagement of federal lands. And our biggest amount of area that is burned every year is federal lands. And so the state has looked at this catastrophe, large fires, and all this and said, hey, let's not waste the opportunity. Let's seize on this, and we'll use fires and catastrophic events to further our own agenda. You know, they always throw climate change out there, you know, blaming everything on climate change and this and that. And so in that meeting, they gave four criteria that the governor had them use. Not one of them was forest management.
I see. And that could pose potential problems?
Forest management is actually one of the biggest problems we have. If we managed our forest, did fuels reductions, if we just took all the road systems that the loggers paid for during back in the last 50, 60, 80 years, whatever, and we took all those road systems and cleared 300 feet on both sides and just made it like a park, didn't have to cut all the trees, but cleared all the brush, did the tree, and a lot of the tree removal would pay for it, and did all those, we would have fire breaks. We would control so much. If we just did logging, dead, dying, disease, select logging, we wouldn't have the fires we have. But the federal government is so incompetent, and they cannot do what they need to do. And here we are. So the state's seizing on that moment. And it's not the public's. The public's not at fault here. It's mm-hmm. It's the federal government, but this is public lands. But they think they know better than we do. And you don't see all the private property burning up. I mean, yeah, we lose some of the timber companies lose some timberland, but it's not because they're not doing their job. It's because the fire comes off of federal land. I mean, look at Merlin. We just had that fire, the Rum Creek fire.
Yes.
Where did we stop it? It didn't burn up Merlin. We stopped it before it got there. Because as it gets closer to the private land, so many private people are doing the job they need to do. Is everyone doing perfect? No. But we're doing what we need to do, but the government's doing zero. But they have all the money. They have all our money. Mm-hmm. So
just remember, forest fires, you know, we've had them forever. This is not a modern phenomenon.
Yeah.
Okay? It becomes highlighted because we have more population that is affected by these huge fires. So if you turn back the clock 150 years ago, when you had a huge fire, there wasn't very many people affected because there wasn't very, very much population. So now you have a bigger population, so these fires affect people more. So they become more of a problem, more of an issue than they were 150 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, but, you know, some people think this fires are, a new phenomena. They're like hurricanes and tornadoes. They've been around a long, long time, and they're going to continue to be around. And that's just part of the natural disaster, whether it's floods or hurricanes or earthquakes or whatever. They're here to stay.
Mm-hmm. And thankfully, we do have an excellent group of firefighters in our community that have been, well, they've been very busy recently.
Yes, I know all about that.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, we'll take a quick break here, but we can return here in just about 2.5 minutes right here, or rather 2 minutes on the Tuesday Talk Show.
What does
it is 9:50 and 70 degrees now in South Grants Pass. In studio today, we have the county commissioners for the Tuesday Talk Show. Gentlemen, you guys have been busy. I mean, it's part of the job, of course.
Well, yes, we're busy. We're going to be selecting a new county commissioner here in the next couple of days. So yesterday at 5 was the deadline to submit applications. I believe there's about 10.
I think that's what I heard.
Yep, yeah. I think there's about 10. So today we will be trying to refine those down to about 3.
Okay.
Or more. We'll see. I don't know who's the applicants yet. And then we'll do some interviews, and then we'll select. I think we're going to select when, John?
We're going to do interviews at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay.
And then after the interviews, we'll select, and then we will have them sworn in at 1 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, wow. So just finish that process up real quick.
Well, it's very important to finish that process up because, you know, we're a board of 3, so there's no way it can be a tie.
Right.
Right now, it can be a tie.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then if we have a tie, one commissioner says yes, one commissioner says no, nothing happens.
That's right.
So that's why we need that third person, and that's why we're moving so quickly.
Well, and that's good then. So you've received some of the applications. What are some main things that you're looking for?
You know, I'm looking for somebody that's willing to serve until – this is me. I'm not speaking for anybody else. Just I'm looking for somebody that's wants to serve until December 31st, doesn't really have any aspirations to run in the future. I don't want to I would not want to select any candidates that are currently running for commissioner.
No, that wouldn't be. No.
Or anybody that's really has ran already. I'm looking for somebody that's just pretty non-biased and just wants to finish up this next 5 months and help us out. And then, of course, there'll be two new commissioners selected in November, and then they'll take office in January.
That's right. So it is a smaller window of working, so they'll definitely want to keep that in mind. John, kind of what are you looking for?
Well, I want someone that has knowledge of Josephine County.
Of course.
I want people that they don't have to have knowledge of every certain thing, because none of us are that way. But you know, a little bit of business sense, a little bit of, you know. I've had some people call me, said, hey, you know, I've been thinking about running. And I said, what do you think of the fairgrounds? And they go, we got a fairgrounds? I'm not sure that they're quite the person for the job.
Not quite yet, maybe.
yeah, you know. And so, you know, I just want to see somebody that's rounded and, you know, that's wanting to come in and help solve some issues that's, you know. And so, you know, I'm with the commissioner. I not necessarily believe that anyone running for commissioner is a good choice. I think the voters should choose that, not us have any sway anyways, you know. And so, you know, most of all, I just want to see what their experiences are, you know, with around the community. And that's what I'm after, just seeing.
Absolutely. And you said you had 10, is that correct?
That was the last I heard, and that was about 5 o'clock yesterday. So okay. That was the deadline, so I think that's a pretty safe number.
That's a pretty good bet there.
Yeah.
But now to whittle it down, how are you feeling about that process, gentlemen?
Well, we've done that before when we select people for different committees and stuff like that, and so... Like you get down to three and then do those interviews, and we got to get down to one that we both agree on. Here we go. If one commissioner says no and the other commissioner says,
You're right, yeah.
It's going to be an interesting process.
And no one else is involved in the voting process.
No one else is involved.
I see.
Yeah. It takes two votes.
It does.
So if we... If we come at a deadlock and I pick A and he picks B and we can't come to an agreement, then the process goes to the elected officials to step in and resolve the tie.
I see. Someone to break it.
Yep.
I understand. Well, best of luck then to you both gentlemen on that. Because I'm sure that definitely takes a lot of responsibility with it. And albeit it is a shorter term, but it's still very, very important.
Yes, it's very important.
Yeah.
We're going to go through the applications at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
So we're going to narrow it down to three people.
Just to three?
Yep, to three at 11 o'clock. And then those three will be notified to be there tomorrow at 10 o'clock for their interviews. And then after the interviews, we will hopefully be able to come to an agreement on one.
Yes.
So then they will get sworn in, and then they will be, their first meeting will be Thursday morning at 9 o'clock.
How about that? Just right to it.
Government takes time to do everything, and we're going to try to break that mold, and we're going to get this done. And because we need that person that's working for the county. So
absolutely. Well, it is important. And like you were saying, it's good to not have just the one say yes, one say no, because then, yes, something
We haven't always agreed on everything, regardless of what is put out there. We haven't always agreed. So, you know, we need to get that other vote.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm sure you guys will find a good candidate there. And so there's the 10 you said, but you don't know yet who they are. Is that correct?
No, we don't know. I haven't looked at all of them. I've looked at some of them as they trickled in, but I haven't had the opportunity to go through all of them.
Right.
Well, we're going to do that as soon as we leave here. So come on, let's get going.
Well, gentlemen, I know we do still have at least another half hour here, but we do just have about a minute left here before we'll take a quick news break here. And then, of course, we will open up the phone lines here very, very soon. So if you do have a question or comment for our county commissioners here, just make sure that you have our number handy. That is 472-1270. That's 541-472-1270. And when you hear us talking through your microphone of your phone, well, talking through your phone, I suppose, then you'll know that you are next in queue to be able to ask your question or make your comment, and then we'll go from there, I suppose. But yes, that'll be the next on the docket then for today.
Okay.
Getting the votes on, well, at least starting to take a look at the...
Narrowing it to three.
Narrowing it down to three. I can imagine that'd be a little daunting, but I know you guys you'll do your best.
We'll get it done.
That's our job, to make decisions.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for taking that on. And, we wish you the very best of luck with that. Well, we'll continue here very, very soon with the Tuesday Talk Show right here on KJO. And, yes, in studio we have our county commissioners, John West and Herman Bearchugger. It is 70 degrees now in South Grants Pass. And about 9:58, we'll be getting to an SRN News update in just about 1 minute. So stay right here on KJO. It is 10:05. You are listening to KJO. It's the Tuesday Talk Show, continuing now with John West and Herman Bearchugger. Gentlemen, before we get on to our next topic here, we do have someone who's been waiting very patiently on the phone line. We'll let them talk here real quick. You're on the air. What do you have to say for our commissioners here?
Well, good morning. This is Rika Brown.
Hi there, Rika. How you doing?
Well, I'm laid up in a recliner with a sprained knee.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Did you have a question or comment for our commissioners?
Yes. Well, just a comment here is that water is the moderator of our weather and the enemy of fire. And we need to get using our water to protect our town. We need to get out there and water our yards. Many of us can afford it, and by gosh, you know, a lot more people can afford it sometimes, I think, than they know. It's just, you got to have priorities. And keeping this town from burning is a big priority.
Well, gentlemen, what do you have to say?
Green is better than brown this time of year.
Yeah.
Darn no, right.
Yeah, I'm not going to... I'm not going to say who has enough money to pay for city water, because I hear it's fairly expensive. I agree. This time of the year, try to keep everything as green as possible and as moist, as possible. And it also puts some humidity in the air, you know, if you do get a fire. So, do everything we can, but the state doesn't necessarily agree with you, because they think that we have a water issue and pumping water out of the ground is causing climate change. So, there's a difference of opinion with Salem.
Well, in addition to keeping your lawn green, I think people just need to be very conscious on starting fires. So there's not much we can do about Mother Nature, and she really, the only tool she has to start fires is lightning, pretty much. But we start as humans, or the activities that we engage in start a lot of fires. And so I just ask citizens to be real careful this time of year. You know, the old don't let kids play with matches, all those kind of things. Be conscious, especially if the wind's blowing. Be very conscious. It doesn't take much to get a fire going this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Well, Rika, thank you very much for calling. Hope your leg gets to feeling better, and you have a good one.
Thank you.
Sure thing. And, of course, yes, you can give us a call anytime with a question or comment for our county commissioners here in studio now until about 10:30. Again, just give us a call, 472-1270. Gentlemen, we have another phone caller on the line here. We'll take that real quick. Hello there. You're on the air with our county commissioners. Do you have a question or comment?
Let me lower the radio.
Oh, there. Yeah, don't want any of that feedback. Brilliant. There you go.
Okay, very short statement, no question. I just want to compliment both of our commissioners. I think they've got a great philosophy, a great idea, and I think you two guys are the best two we've had in a very, very long time. In particular, Mr. West, well, I think I still hear a feedback. I'm lowering my radio some more.
Okay.
Anyway, the idea of the federal government not doing what they could do to reduce the fire, I've already lost my insurance. I'm not happy about that, but I just wanted to say I think you two guys are on the right track. Anyway, thank you for the time. Bye.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your comment, sir. And again, yes, that phone number, 472-1270, if you have a question or comment. Once you hear us talking through your phone, then you'll know that you are next in queue. Well, gentlemen, gotten some phone calls out of the way here, and we'll continue our talk. Shall we? There's something very recent happening that we wanted to discuss a little bit.
Oh, John, you want to start?
Okay, so I think everyone is very aware that Sunday the Pigpens left the fairgrounds, and this morning around 8 o'clock, they come back to the fairgrounds. And I want to give Chris Elliott from OSU kudos for spearheading that. They worked hard getting that resolved. I also want to give kudos to Tamara Martin at the fairgrounds and Jen McGowan from Joseph County Youth and Ag. They've worked very hard. This morning there was, boy, I didn't get a count, but there looked like there was around 100 kids and parents there. They unloaded that truck in massive time. I do want people to understand that the I don't blame the truck driver. That truck driver was put in a bad position. He was called to ask to do something that he was led to believe was the correct thing to do. And so I talked with him and his wife. Seems like good people. They're just caught in a bad situation, and I want the citizens to not blame them and not go after them on social media or follow them or see if they see them. You know, there's always innocent people that gets caught up into a bad situation. So, resolve, the pig pens are stacked up. It's my understanding that possibly Saturday they're going to have a big group there. They're going to put them all back together.
Okay.
And we had a plan for the fair to continue as like normal at that part of it, but now it'll be even better. So, problem solved. And I had a long conversation with Chris Elliott there this morning from OSU, and you know, he was saddened at how things transpired, but we got it resolved, and so we're going to move forward. That's who we are in Josephine County, and the citizens band together, and so the kids are going to have the program they deserve.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's unwrap the onion here layer by layer. Let's talk about all the players. So the first player is the Oregon State University Extension Service. The Extension Service was formed many years ago. I believe it was President Lincoln started the Extension Service. And it is administered by all the colleges, the land-grant colleges. So every state has a land-grant college. If you want to have an interesting read how that was all established. That's you couldn't do that today. But anyways, so it's a USDA program. It's administered by the land-grant colleges in each state. Oregon State University is our land-grant college. And so we had them here, and they're the ones that administer the 4-H program. So over the last couple years, there's a lot of concern over the policies coming through the university. And so the majority of the individuals participating in the 4-H livestock left the program, and they started their own program called Josephine County Youth for Ag. Is it Youth for Ag or Youth and Ag?
Youth and Ag.
Youth and Ag. So they didn't have any more participants in their program. So the next group that's involved is the Josephine County 4-H Foundation. The Josephine County 4-H Foundation is a 501(c) nonprofit group. That's the fundraising branch. So it's separate from Oregon State University, and it has its own board of directors. And they raise some money for 4-H and help with that program. So that's another one. The other group that's involved is the citizens of Josephine County. In the mid-90s, they passed a levy to support the 4-H program. And what has happened in the last couple of years, since most of the participants in the 4-H livestock has left, we questioned how they were spending all that money, the commissioners did. Because if it's about $420,000 a year from the county, plus there's some grants and there's some building funds and stuff, so it's like $1.4 million is the budget. And we're saying, okay, what do you spend all this money? Most everybody left. So we questioned that, and so we stopped collecting that money, and we gave them a year to kind of mend fences and anyways, to make a long story short, that didn't happen. So this year we decided just no longer funding, because the Board of County Commissioners is the board of directors for the Josephine County 4-H Taxing District or Oregon OSU Extension Service / 4-H Taxing District. So we just said we're not funding it anymore. Well, then the people, the board of directors for the 4-H Foundation said, well, those pins are ours. We raised the money. We paid for them. So on Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, I get a phone call and say they're down there at the fairgrounds taking the pig pens apart. Okay. Well, they took them apart. They loaded them up on a truck. And then come Monday, the Oregon State University Extension Service said, no, we think they're our pins. They're not your pins. And so they wound up having to bring them back. We anticipate that the Extension Service are going to donate them to the fairgrounds. I hope that happens, and so that way this will never happen again. But all the money raised through the Josephine County 4-H Foundation was raised by companies and individuals in Josephine County. And the reason you form a 501(c) to raise money is so people can write it off on their taxes. So businesses that give money for the pins can write it off as a donation. That's why you have that. So the whole incident was extremely unfortunate, but the good thing is the pins are back. Everything's going to be on time. The fair's just around the corner. They'll be all ready to go. And so it had a good... But I'll tell you what, it's a very, very unfortunate thing that happened the last couple of days. I'm glad it has been resolved and we're back in business.
So I blame five citizens of Josephine County that was on the board of the 4-H Association. They held a meeting. They voted unanimously to do this. They, in the paperwork, they said they were going to notify the Josephine County Fairgrounds that they were going to do this and come and remove the pins at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, leaving a message at the fairgrounds office. Now, they know nobody's at that office. They know that most people was either going to be in church, gone, doing whatever they... I feel like this was calculated on their part. What my understanding is, two of them has resigned now, leaving three others. But I hold them 100% responsible for the bad decisions they made. And I don't think that the 4-H Association has seen the end of this with OSU. I think OSU still... has some more cards to play on accountability to them, from my understanding. And so those five citizens thought they were more powerful than they are. And so we're going to see how it plays out.
I'm sure a lot of folks did see about it on Facebook. And one thing I saw that was that just how folks would come together. And certainly a lot of folks did come together to bring the pens back. And I understand some news articles will start to come out about this. But as far as I've seen, it's just been on Facebook.
Well, I've been involved in a lot of issues in my political career. This one here, this is the issue of the pig pens. I'm going to add that to all the other issues. So I think I've covered the spectrum.
There you go.
So one thing that I would ask is the fair is the 7th through the 11th of August?
I believe so.
And I would ask every citizen to come out and support the kids during Livestock Week and support the fair. We're going to have a great fair. But these kids, you know, they work very hard raising their pigs, their steers, their goats, their sheep, their everything that they do. And this is a life learning lesson for them and what they're doing. And I think that our part to them is supporting them and coming out and just seeing what they've done. And if you're able to bid on a pig or whatever it is and support them in every way and encourage them because this is, you know, they're our future of our country. And so we want to encourage them to continue to do all the right things.
Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for bringing this to light to those who might not have been able to hear about it just yet. We'll take a quick little break here, but then we'll be back in just about 2 minutes with the Tuesday Talk Show here on KJO.
New patient today.
Here we're listening to KJO. It is currently 10:22 and 72 degrees on this Tuesday, July 23rd. Tuesday, that means the Tuesday Talk Show are going on right now with our county commissioners, John West and Herman Bearchigger. Just another reminder, of course, if you have a question or comment for our commissioners, you can give us a call at 472-1270. Phone lines are up and ready for you. And when you hear us talking through your phone, then you'll know that you are next in queue to ask your question or comment for John and Herman. Well, gentlemen, thank you again for coming on in here. We just have about another 6 minutes to fill here. Anything just kind of on your guys' minds? Well,
we've made it through the budget process. That's the most difficult part of this job, especially when we're contracting as a county. So our budget was about $11 million less than it was last year.
Oh.
All the COVID money is gone. But we've gotten through that. And there's never pleasant because you have to make some decisions that just are not pleasant to make, but they have to be made. They're financial decisions, and we have to have a balanced budget. So between the inflation and also our budget contracting, we did it. We didn't really have to cut any services, and some of them had to get scaled back, but we didn't. Those services are still available through the county. So I'm glad that's over, and I don't know what's going to happen next year, but my feeling is that there's going to be some more cuts coming. We're going to continue to contract simply because, you know, cost of doing business is up as much as 14% because of the inflation. So there you go.
Definitely. Well, John, would you like to say a quick word on that before we take our next phone call?
So, real quick, there's a lot of things happening. Fair's coming up. I sit on the liaison with the chamber. They got Lemonade Day. They got a lot of things. So I ask people to look at some of those events coming up. They're great events. And so let's stay positive. Let's do our best to get through summer, no fires, and just help one another.
Absolutely. Well, we do have a question or comment coming on the line here. You're on the air. What do you have for our commissioners?
This is a little bit off the subject, but I would like to know if there's a way that they could create some signs to prevent drownings in the Rogue River. Every year we have 3, 4, 5 drownings, and there's a way that people can, in a drowning situation, float on their back, point their feet downstream, and, do their best to float to the edge of the river to safety. And I think that this should be posted in all the parks along the Rogue River to prevent a lot of these drowning situations. A lot of people don't realize that if you float on your back, your chances are greatly improved of reducing the chance of you drowning, but people just don't realize it, and these drownings happen every single year, and I've called before with this idea and got shot down, and I've left emails with the Parks Department, and I started advocating for this when an 18-year-old friend of my son's drowned because he wasn't a very good swimmer out in Greece, so I just thought I'd call in and ask.
Well, thank you, ma'am, for your question. Gentlemen, how about that?
Well, I appreciate that. I'll have to bounce that off some other folks. You know, that Rogue River has claimed a lot of lives. I've been here a long time, and when I was young, your age, yeah. I used to swim across that river quite often. And,
oh, wow.
And I was on the river quite a bit as a youth and everything, and it, you don't take it for granted. That river is extremely dangerous. And we do have life jackets at the boat ramps, or we used to. They were donated, and we had life jackets, and we had signs. But I do think, you know, reiterating to people how dangerous that river is. And, yeah, that could be helpful teaching, but that should be done at when people go to swimming classes and stuff like that. That should be a technique that is taught, you know. As far as posting it, I would have to bounce that off. I'm just afraid how many people are going to really read it. And so we already have a lot of troubles with people stealing our signs. It's not a bad idea, but I need to bounce it off some other people to get some opinions of how effective it would really be. So,
another comment. This come up to me, and I did a little bit of questioning. And so whether it's the BLM, the Forest Service, Army Corps of Engineers, everybody wants to weigh in where the sign's going to be. We only allow this in if it's a wild and scenic. And so, you know, there's what size is the sign going to be? And then there's a lot of trails, a lot of access. So, you know, it's most of it's government property, not county. We're always at their mercy of what they allow us to do. So, we'll look into it. We'll do everything we can, but at the end of the day, the federal government dictates they own that river.
Does that answer your question, ma'am?
Yes. I understand there's always a lot of red tape, but at the same time, it could also be more affordable as well as to post it and advertise it even in the newspaper, the 5 o'clock news. The schools, wherever people congregate, and just put it out there as much as possible.
We'll do our best everywhere we can put that out there. You know, even at our county parks and that border the rivers, and we'll do what we can. You know, the news media is only going to cover it so long, but we'll try to encourage them to continue through the summer months. When the biggest users are there and try to do their best, and we'll do everything we can.
All righty, ma'am, thank you very much for your question. Gentlemen, I'm afraid we might have to start wrapping things up here, but ma'am, thank you for your call, and we'll have to start getting going here. Any last thoughts, though, before we get going? I'm sure we could spare a moment or two here.
No, I think that's about it for me. That's enough excitement for 1 week.
There we go.
Yep,
it's only Tuesday.
Encourage everybody to remember about the fair.
Yes.
It's going to be a great time.
It will be. Gentlemen, thank you very much again for stopping on, and we appreciate it. And that will do it for today's Tuesday talk show right here on KJO. It is about 10:29 and 73 degrees right here in South Grants Pass. Coming up here very, very shortly, we'll have another look at SRN News and another weather update for you on this Tuesday, July 23rd. Just a quick high sign, though, an air quality alert in effect until 5 p.m. on Wednesday. Again, you were listening to KJO, and that'll do it for the Tuesday talk show right here on your variety station.